Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today to have a personal relationship with you that can be intimate and close and hour by hour and day by day. May we not only long for it, but may we experience it. Lord, we now yield to you. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let this meeting be more of a meeting with of us with you than it is with each other. Thank you, Lord, for what we're learning. Now show us the way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, how was your day today? Okay. How many of you had something really bad happen today? Okay, it wasn't too bad then, was it? Okay, well, I'm glad to see you here for the Wednesday night meeting, and we're looking forward to the Lord guiding us. Now, I got another question for you. How many of you think that you are a multitasker? You could do more than one thing at a time. Okay, the younger people, I can see that. I'm going to pull something right now and see if I can do it. We'll need Peter in a minute. I would like to have everybody not only have the sheet about the revival moments, but also a sheet that's got a song on it called Here Is Love. Did you already pick that up? If you didn't, somebody come to the front row and we can get a few of those. We can just pass them back. And you know what, Brother Peter, I think we will try to sing that song in just a moment. And here's the multitasking. I'm going to show you or teach you a little song. You can tell that I am especially gifted at teaching people to sing. I'm sure you've been able to pick up on my talent when it comes to carrying a tune, which is very small. But anyway, I think we're going to learn something tonight that will be helpful. And I want to kind of do it at the same time as we're doing our revival moment. Okay, can we do that? If you will take a look at your paper that says that's about the revival moments, you will see we've already talked about the standard for revival, about the requirements for revival, and then we mentioned in a sermon about the essentials and the incidentals, so that's very important to distinguish. Now, I just want to real quickly have you write down examples of revival there in the Bible, and they are presented to us in the form of stories or a narrative that helps us to see what happens. And if you would do this, you'll be able to look at the paper later and have a good study of the Bible when it comes to revivals, the revivals in the Bible. Okay, you ready? Okay, first write down Exodus 32 through 34. Exodus 32 through 34 begins with that awful thing when the people had made and bowed down to a golden calf. Remember the story? But follow the story a couple of more chapters. You'll find a revival as God put them back on the right track. It's really a phenomenal story all of you ought to read. Then write down the book of Judges. Who would say to me or confess to me, Brother Flanders, I have read the book of Judges and sometimes it makes me scratch my head. Okay, it's explained to you in chapter 2. Really, Judges is about apostasy, getting away from the truth, and revival. I remember when I was a young man, I heard in a time of apostasy, there will be no revival. Well, the fact is the book of Judges teaches us you can't have revival without apostasy. Because apostasy is departure from the truth, and revival is coming back. And in the second chapter, you remember this part where he explains what's to come? He says, now the people of the Lord, you know, there was apostasy. They would turn away from the true God and turn to false gods. Then they would be chastised with oppressors like the Midianites and the Philistines and the other ites that would come and oppress them, all right? Then they would cry to the Lord. We're going kind of around in a circle here. All right, there'd be departure, chastisement, and then a cry to the Lord. That cry would be answered by a deliverer, a savior, a judge. And that would be the experience of revival as God put them back on the track of Old Testament revival. Then it says, when the judge would die, when finally the judge died, the people corrupted themselves more than their fathers. All right? And so then what happens is they are chastised. And then they cry out to God, and God's, no, they are chastised by an oppressor. Then they cry out to God. God sends them a judge, a deliverer. And then they're following the Lord again. They're having a revival. And then when the judge dies, they corrupt themselves more than their fathers. It's like a cycle of revival and apostasy in the book of Judges. But you know what? It's not exactly a cycle. Because, you know, when they fall away after the judge dies, they go farther away than they were the first time. So it's not really a spiral. I mean, not really a cycle. It's a spiral. They're going down. And with every level of judges, they're going lower. And you know, I mentioned earlier that revival is a relative term in the Bible. And did you know a person can come back to God as far as they understand God's will and have a true revival but not be exactly right on everything? We read that throughout the Bible of kings who are perfect in their heart, but the people still offered sacrifices on the high places. You ever notice that? And God works with us where we are. And so they were having revivals, but as they departed from or became more ignorant of the teachings of the law, well, then they were actually going down while they were having revivals and apostasy. Anyway, I find it very instructive. Another place where you find a revival in the Bible is 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're actually toward the end of the Judges era. 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel, the young fellow, ends up being a catalyst for revival. And you can read about that. And you know, you and I sometimes can be used as a catalyst for revival in our home or in our church. That can certainly happen. And then 2 Chronicles has several examples of revival. I mentioned that already. Here are the places. Chapter 15 under King Asa. Chapter 17 under King Jehoshaphat. Chapters 29 and 30 under Hezekiah. And then in Nehemiah, chapters 8 through 12. That's a very interesting passage about revival. You know how they had a revival during that time? It was called a little reviving. They had it deliberately. They got together, restored to the holy city of Jerusalem, and they said, we need a revival. So they went and had one. And it'll tell you how many hours a day they read the scripture publicly, how many hours a day they confessed their sins, and then they would pray. Would that work? Yeah, it worked. And if you read all those chapters together, chapters 8 through 12, it comes to a dramatic climax as the people of God meet with him. It's just great. Another Bible revival is the revival I call the John and Jesus revival. Now, we know the narrative of the gospel, starting with John the Baptist, has eternal significance, but it can also be studied as an Old Testament type revival. And the first revivalist was John, and then he was followed by Jesus Christ, and that's a revival. And then the revivals in the book of Acts would be a good way to put it. I distinguish a few of them, but where people came back to God and God came back to them. So anyway, I don't know if you took the time to write all of those down, but if you do, it'll make that piece of paper a little bit more useful to you as you take a look at what God's Word says about revival. Now we've got our organist in place. He tells me he knows this song. I am guessing that a few of you know the song, which became well known in 1904, 1905 with the Welsh Revival. Here is love. Let me see how much help I have. How many of you would say, I think I've sung this song before? Raise your hand. Okay, that's what I was afraid of. But I'm going to do my best on this. Now, the Welsh Revival was one of the most phenomenal spiritual experiences of any nation in all of modern times, without a doubt. And actually, statistically, it was bigger than the Great Awakening. Although it occurred in about a year and a half time over there in the Principality of Wales. Welsh people are musical people. They sing. Are any of you Welsh? Your background is Welsh? Okay. They're musical people. And actually, Wales had one of the most successful and thorough Sunday school programs of any nation in the world during the time of moral decline that had taken place at the end of the 1800s. The kids still went to Sunday school. And it is said that when the revival happened in 1904, that the hardened, swearing, drinking, gambling sinners, when they were converted, they knew the songs and they knew the verses from Sunday school. Quite remarkable about that. Someone, not me, knows at what church it was, a Baptist church in Wales, I think in 1905, where someone just broke out in the song, Here Is Love. The words were written by a Welshman, And the music was written by Robert Lowry, an American Baptist, who wrote some of our most singable songs in the hymn book. They'd be some of your favorites. We don't know how the two men got together. They were both dead before this took place. But they knew the song. It's a song about the love of Jesus Christ for us, demonstrated by him dying on the cross for us. And it's, to me, the best vehicle for me to express my love to Christ that I have ever run across. And in 2005, there were several gatherings in this country and in Wales to celebrate the Welsh Revival. I was involved in one of them. I was asked to give a speech called The Significance of the Welsh Revival. Myself and the others who headed that meeting studied the Welsh Revival, and when we would get together, we would always remark about the love song. Americans that visited Wales during those days all spoke of the love song, because after that one service, every revival meeting in Wales included Here Is Love. Everyone had spread across the country. And in those days, folks, if you visited Wales and you came to any village or city, you would come into the town and they would be singing. Every church had meetings every day. And a lot of it was testimony, prayer, and singing, as well as the preaching of the word. And I've been told that if you left town on your business, when you were done with your business, and headed up over the next hill to the next valley, the next town, as the music died behind you, you would hear the singing from the churches in the next valley below. And one of the main songs was this one, which I find very singable. And I'm not going to have us sing it all. We'll probably sing some more tomorrow night. But the first two stanzas are about the cross. And I want us to think about the words, and I'm going to do my very best in leading us. So you help me out if you can, okay? Here is love vast as the ocean.